This episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast is brought to you by Equipment Defender. Check out the racks that stop theft in its tracks. With trimmer racks available in 2, 3, and 4 trimmer configurations, backpack blower racks that fit any size, make, and model of backpack blower, and many other racks available for the tools and equipment needed for your lawn care or landscaping business. Go check them out at lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/Equipment Defender. And listen to this, guys. If you use coupon code LCBS10 at the checkout, you'll save 10% off your order. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast,
the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems
in marketing, equipment, and customer service. Educational and motivational
to help make your lawn care business
an overwhelming success.
Now here's your host,
Julio Tomei. Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 146, entitled, How Many Clients Do You Need to Be Successful? Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week and downloading those episodes, and of course, for the questions, the comments, the feedback that you guys have been sending through. On that note, like I said, with questions and comments and feedback, I got a Instagram direct message this week from somebody showing me a photo of their car in dash stereo, showing the podcast logo and that they were listening to the episode. They're just telling me how much it's helped them out with their new lawn care sort of side business. And I really do love those types of photos. I've gotten a few of those in the past as well. I just really do appreciate the time that people take to show their appreciation in that way. Also, if you're new to the podcast, I've been getting quite a bit of interest lately and some new listeners and people on Instagram just asking and even discovering the show for the first time. And these are people that even follow me and don't realize that I have a weekly podcast. So if you're new to listening to this episode and you've figured out podcasts for the first time and you figured out how to get this going on your phone, welcome to the podcast and listening to these episodes. They're released on a weekly basis, and I'm glad to have any of you new listeners out there as well. And feel free, as I always say to everyone else, to send in your questions and comments and your feedback to me. You can do that at lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/contact, and there that'll take you to my website, to the sort of generic contact page where you can leave a question or comment or suggest a topic that you may think I have not covered in the past. Also, you can also just follow me on Instagram, at Lawn Care Business Success, and direct message me through there as well. So welcome to the show if you are new. For you guys that are just joining in, and for you guys that have been around for a while, just a reminder that, if you'd like to help support the content that I create here on a weekly basis, if you found value in what, I've been doing, and you want a way to help give back, the Amazon affiliate store that I set up is a great way to do that. Of course, like any other Amazon affiliate store, it lets you shop, for your Amazon purchases, and for everything that you buy, I get a slight, commission on those. In addition to those, of course, the podcast t-shirts are also available there, through Amazon. I've got, four or five or six designs available at the moment, that you guys can, have a look at. And it's a great way to, show your support for the show and show that you do receive value from these episodes. You can find all of that at amazon.com/shop/lawn-care-business-success. And I appreciate any of you who have been supporting me through that means of using the Amazon affiliate store and purchasing your t-shirts. And of course, as I mentioned in an earlier podcast episode, if you do purchase a t-shirt and you send me a photo of yourself on Instagram wearing that shirt, or just send me a photo of yourself wearing that shirt that I can post on Instagram, I will also send you a free podcast sticker for you to go along with your t-shirt. So just a little incentive there for you guys to share, those of you who have bought t-shirts. So for this week's episode, I want to talk about a question that I get asked time and time again, throughout the past 3 years of putting out the podcast. And it mainly comes from new listeners to the show, or people just, you know, starting to think about launching a lawn care business for the first time. In a lot of cases, they are in the planning stages. They may still have, some sort of, you know, a second job, or a, you know, part-time job, or even a full-time job, that, they're considering leaving, that they may not, you know, find fulfillment from, and are considering, you know, going at a lawn care business and launching, you know, their own business and becoming self-employed for the first time. And this question always comes up, and it's, you know, how many clients do you need to be successful? So I'm just going to play the podcast announcements, and then we'll get right into the episode in its entirety right after this. So stay tuned. Hey guys, if you have any questions or comments about the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/contact. And while you're there, why not join my mailing list and get access to a free PDF document of a landscape maintenance contract you can feel free to copy and use in your own business. For you Instagram users out there, be sure to follow me at Lawn Care Business Success. And if you haven't checked out my videos yet, well, what are you waiting for? Be sure to subscribe to the Lawn Care Business Success YouTube channel. Now, I know you guys love listening to audio while you work as much as I do, so I've partnered up with Audible to offer you guys a free 30-day trial and 2 free audiobooks of your choice. There's no long-term commitments, and you can cancel anytime. And get this, even if you cancel during your free trial period, you still get to keep the 2 free audiobooks. It's a great way to try the service and to see if Audible is right for you. So why not give it a try? Head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/audible. Now back to the show. Okay, so as I mentioned before the break, this question of how many clients do you need to be successful in a single, you know, owner-operator lawn care business? I have been asked this so many times over the past 3 years. I almost to the point where I'm thinking that I should just write sort of a canned message response to this answer, to be able to cut and copy, you know, and paste onto everybody who asks me this question all the time, so I don't have to keep typing the same response all the time. So basically, you know, this question is very difficult to answer, because everybody is completely different. And what works for me is not going to, you know, work for everybody. You know, your geographical areas, what parts of the country you live in, what country you live in, even, you know, the parts of town that you live in, the types of, you know, customer requirements, you know, in your, town or city, the types of services that you're willing to provide. There's so many variables that make this answer or question, almost impossible to answer and give a, you know, any, you know, right type of answer. Technically, if you think about this, as a single owner operator, you could be very successful with one client. Now think about this. Say there is some, very wealthy, high influence type person that lives in your town or neighborhood, maybe a high profile athlete or something like that, that has a large estate. You could very well be employed by that person, taking care of just their single property. It could be so big that it keeps you busy throughout the week. And you can make a very good living working off of this one person. So, you know, when you think of it in that context, there's very, you know, like I said earlier, it's almost impossible to answer this question. For me, and this is all I can really sort of provide you guys with, is what has worked for me. And like I say, everybody's in different areas. Everybody's, you know, in different, situations. But, you know, I've heard similar answers to this from other people in different parts of different, you know, countries, different towns, just in conversations, in forums, and all that sort of stuff. And I would say, for a single owner operator, if you're doing, and again, you know, even just trying to answer the question here, more variables keep popping up, in my mind. You know, I'm about to say, if you're doing, not just mowing, but you're doing other jobs, but then again, you know, what does just mowing mean? There's so many different, variables that pop up there as far as, the sizes of the properties that you're mowing. And the reason I bring this up is that, you know, it's just so different. When I'm, you know, on Instagram on a daily basis and I'm looking through, all of your guys' photos and I'm, liking them and all that, you know, just the range of equipment that I see, is, you know, enough to make your head spin. I was looking, just yesterday, and I believe it was, Brian from Top Notch, Lawn Care, who, you know, most of us are familiar with from YouTube. He was demoing a new Wright stand-on mower, and it was that huge beast one of a mower. I don't know if you guys have seen this thing, but it had like quad tires on the back, like four tires. So two regular rear tires on each side mounted side by side, basically like a dually pickup on the back of this thing. And it had like a 72-inch deck. Just absolutely ginormous, this mower. And I think his comment was just like, you know, just total beast, this machine. And you know, you look at the photos and stuff and, I look at the size of the properties and areas that he's mowing and it's like, that's insane. Like I could never imagine. It looks like a city park to me. There's nothing that even comes close, that I need to mow. For that, as most of you guys who have followed the podcast and listened, you know that I've had a ton of different mowers throughout the years, from John Deere tractors to Gravely Zero Turns to walkers. And through most of those, the largest size deck I've ever used or ever needed to use was a 42-inch deck. And for some of you guys, that's tiny. But for me and the clients and the areas that I service here, mainly in the city, in the dense populated city, you know, the 42-inch deck was, as large as I would be willing to use for properties. And even then, I found myself, the whole story I tell with about my walker, you know, I loved the walker. I had some issues with it, with the soft ground because of all the rain here. Ultimately led me to sell the machine after only 4 years. But it wasn't because it wasn't a good machine. It just wasn't right for me. But one of the other issues was it was a 42-inch deck, and it sat on my trailer for probably 90% of the properties that I service, because they're all just too small to mow. Or in some cases, you know, I may be able to mow, you know, the front yard section, but then I'd have to load it up and, you know, go get a 21 inch mower to get through a tiny gate. And, you know, like I said, ultimately it stayed on the trailer. So, you know, property range sizes, when I'm looking through Instagram, looking at your posts and seeing these just ginormous mowers that some of you guys have, it just boggles the mind. Another example here to kind of show you guys is, you know, I've tried, you know, a stand on mower, as most of you, or sorry, a walk behind mower, and those types of mowers, walk behind, stand ons, those sort of things are just not popular here yet. They're pretty scarce. And there's only a couple of brands that I've seen available at dealers, and they're, you know, pretty expensive. And I'm not willing to shell out that sort of money for something like that on something that, you know, I'm not sure I can use on the types of properties I use because of their, you know, the different characteristics and stuff. There's a lot of hills and things like that. And, you know, I tried with the walk behind and that seems to be working good. And I would like to find myself a stand on mower. And in the cases, if you guys, you know, follow the podcast, you've probably heard me talking about this. You know, there's been a couple of instances over the past year where I saw two of the Toro grandstand, 36 inch grandstands come up for sale. And in each time that I've gone to phone the person, after I've seen it pop up on Craigslist, they're almost instantly sold. They're gone. And that's, you know, it's just because there's the used market. They're just not popular here. So when one comes up for sale, it's gone, like instantly. Now on the flip side, and just sort of just jump back, some of those, in at least in one case, one of those mowers had a ton of hours on it and it still sold right away. Now in the flip side, for a few months, there's been another stand-on mower that has probably the least amount of hours of any of the previous ones that have gone for sale. It looks immaculate, like brand spanking new. It's a John Deere stand-on mower. And it was for sale for a few months. It disappeared. And I just noticed that it's for sale again. And this time, the price is you know, been reduced. And in fact, the price is only about $200 more for this stand-on mower than I paid for my 36-inch turf tracer used. So I bought my turf tracer for $2,000 Canadian, and this stand-on mower, they're asking $2,200 now. It's dirt cheap. I would be all over it. And I'm sure a ton of other people would be all over it. The problem is it's a 52-inch deck. And I guarantee that's the only reason it's not selling, is because it's a 52-inch deck and it's just way too big for the majority of properties around here. As good as the deal is, you know, if I were to buy it, you know, I may be able to use it on one property. It just wouldn't make sense. It would sit for most of the times where I found, you know, the most versatility being in that 36 inch. And even if it was a slightly bit smaller, if I, you know, if it was a 34 inch, stand on or walk behind, I'd be able to probably use it on every lawn that I do. So that just sort of gives you guys some context of what I'm talking about as far as property sizes here. So very small, dense city lots. You know, over the years, it seems to have gotten denser and denser for me. You know, now I wouldn't even consider the 42 inch deck anymore, just because as real estate prices here keep climbing, the value of land is so, you know, valuable that any houses with any sort of sizable lots are immediately sold, torn down, and replaced with two or three houses in their footprint. And it's just, the way that it's going here, the densification of the city, more and more people keep moving here. And it's just, it's insane the amount of construction and, population growth, in the city that I live in over the past, few years, especially. So, these lots are getting smaller and smaller, and I've had to adapt. Over the course of last year, I've talked about how the trailer is almost becoming a hindrance to me now. Again, because these neighborhoods are getting so dense and there's so many cars parked that it's so difficult at times for me to find parking. So what am I getting to with all this? Well, like I said, everybody's situation is absolutely different. When I see your photos again on Instagram and I see the size of those equipment that you guys are using in comparison, and I see, guys upgrading to bigger and bigger trailers and larger trucks. And to me, it's just mind-boggling because I'm like, there's no way I'd be able to maneuver something like that throughout my city. It'd be like me, driving my RV, travel trailer on the back of my truck full time. It's just, would be very unproductive. So again, just to sort of give you guys the context of that. So for me, in my business, I do more than just mowing. I focus on or try to focus on weekly clients that are looking for, regular weekly lawn care. I don't so much do single cuts anymore, unless they are possibly the only times I do sort of temporary cuts or anything like that, is if they're close to clients that I already service. And they're more than just a single cut. Maybe it's like a holiday cut. They're gone for a few weeks, a few months. I'll do those. And typically with those types of clients, I'm doing them on a regular basis anyway. So I have ones that are, a few clients that are constant travelers. So they're always out of the country, always traveling. Some of them are, as we refer to as snowbirds. Basically they live in Canada, only during the summer months. Because they're retired, they go and travel down south to Florida, maybe go to Mexico, things like that during the Canadian winter. And then they return home and, during the summer and spring, type months. And they'll have maybe a house sitter or something like that taking care of the house, usually a college student or something like that. But then they require lawn maintenance and all that during those periods. And those are the types of sort of temporary type cuts that I'll take on. But generally my clients are, full service type lawn care clients. Now, not all of them are full service. That's a whole nother topic for a whole nother, podcast episode. The challenges, that my business is facing, with, some of those things that I indicated there before, as far as, the crisis really in what is the skyrocketing value of homes here, which is making people, basically cash out. And I've seen the largest number of, clients dropping, or, letting go of my service because they're ultimately putting their homes for sale and selling to basically cash out because, like I said, the real estate market here is so, incredibly, hot at the moment, that people are just like, I have no choice. Like we're going to cash out now, and take advantage of these prices. Cause who knows, if something, the real estate market drops or something like that. It's just insane. Ever-changing. And because, these new families and new people that are buying these houses and, the houses, lots getting subdivided and all that, and the skyrocketing prices, people are essentially mortgaged to the extreme. their bills are, getting, almost, I would say probably out of hand in some cases. And then on top of that, the area that I live in also is known for having the most expensive gas prices in all of North America. Crazy. Currently, gas is at about $1.55 per liter, and it takes 3.78 liters to make up a U.S. gallon. You're in the just under $6 a gallon range for fuel. They're talking about, it's going to keep rising, keep going up. So it's getting insane. And what that's changing is people's ability to afford extras in lawn care. So I'm finding that on top of losing a lot more clients on a regular basis now because they're moving, the new clients that I'm picking up are not really concerned about the quality of their lawn. They're more concerned about, they just want it cut. That's it. They don't want fertilizer anymore. They don't want aeration anymore. And I'm finding, they don't want power raking anymore and all the stuff that I was doing so much of over the past few years. So like I say, when somebody asks, how many clients do you need to be successful? It really is a loaded question and it's always changing. So basically for me, what I have found in my situation up to this point is that anywhere between 30 to 40 clients is where I'm comfortable. So that's what I enjoy is 30 to 40 clients. It gets me enough work to keep busy that I can do, either 10 or so mows 4 days a week and keep an extra day, to do, the things like hedges and, power washing and all of the extra services that I do offer in my business. Or I can, where I found the last few years is I've actually condensed those, 40 or so mows to 3 days and just worked a bit longer now that my kids are older and they don't necessarily require me to pick them up from school every day anymore, like they did when they were younger. I've been able to, in the last year or so, extend my working hours and get all of my mows condensed into 3 days. And now that leaves me 2 days to, do those extra jobs if I so choose, record a YouTube video or record a podcast or something like that. Now, keep in mind that my wife has a full-time job as well with full benefits and all of that. So that also comes into play. So it's very difficult for me to give you guys an honest answer on what is the magic number. Because like I said, every, situation and everybody's business is absolutely different. And like I said, for me even, that number may be changing with those new clients that I bring on year after year, as I'm finding that, they're not willing to pay for the extra services. I'm sure, they would all like to. I'm sure, if money wasn't an issue and people weren't, mortgaged and, had incredible amounts of debt that, they would pay me to do everything for them. But it's just not the way that it seems to be going. Like I said, mortgage prices are absolutely insane. So people's, the amount they're spending Obviously you got to put things into priority, your shelter, you know, your vehicles and insurance. If you got to get to work, you may have parking to pay for work or other transportation costs, obviously food on the table, insurances, healthcare, all that sort of stuff is going to come well before the lawn care guy gets paid. So even for me, going into my 13th year here, things may need to change. I may need to ramp up the amount of clients I do versus the past 12 seasons if I want to maintain or even grow the amount of income I'm, you know, making. As I've said in the past there and hinted there earlier, for the first, you know, years of my business, my kids were young and I was taking them to school in the morning. I was picking them up after school. So my typical day was I was starting at 9 and working till 2. And whatever I could get done in those times, and when they were really, really young, you know, in the 1, 2, 3, 4 years old, 5 years old type range, I was working 6 days a week. As they got older and involved into sports and stuff, I was no longer able to work on the Saturdays, because there'd always be, you know, some sports or some, you know, event, or activity that they needed to go to. And having a boy and a girl, a lot of times those were, happening at the same time in different locations. So my wife would take one and I would take the other. And so my time was limited. Now, as both of them are in high school, I still take them to school in the mornings. So, you know, with my son, he comes back on his own through public transit. With my daughter, you know, she goes to high school a few blocks away. She can walk home. And that frees me up. Now, I've been, like I said, in the last year, just experiencing all this extra time now where it's like, wow, like if the weather is really nice and sunny, I can take advantage of that now. It's just so different for me even, and that I may, as I experience this extra time and experience this, you know, sort of new trend in the clients that I'm picking up in this, you know, densification that we have here, that this new breed of client, essentially, that just wants, you know, a straight cut. You know, if they, in a lot of cases, you know, if I can mow it every 10 days or every 2 weeks for them, they'd be perfectly happy with that. And the fact that I just don't offer that is the only reason I'm able to keep maintaining weekly cuts for these people. For me, even that whole landscape is changing, and what I'm seeing and the 30 to 40 customers that I maintain on a regular basis may not be enough moving forward if more and more of these customers that move away and I replace are customers that don't want aeration, that don't want all the fertilizing, that don't want trees and bushes trimmed and pruned and all of that. They just don't have the budget for it. So when asking that question, I would say that you have to really just, you know, take the information that you can, try to look for somebody who's more local to you in your area, and maybe a few different examples of people like that, and try to get a, you know, build up an your answer from that, from those types of people that are working in your city, in those conditions, in that market that you will be servicing. because that'll be far more accurate than asking, you know, somebody like me, who may live in a completely different country from you or completely opposite side of the country from you, and have a completely different business model as you or from you. I know a lot of you guys are not into fertilization or spraying or stuff like that, and that you sub all that stuff out. So that, you know, if your plan is to come in and just do mowing and that's all you want to do, and you don't want to do any other add-on services or any, you know, fertilizing or any of that stuff, well, that's going to dramatically change how many customers you need to, you know, stay afloat and to make a profit. Also, what type of equipment are you running? Are you starting off with used equipment? Are you going out and buying a whole bunch of brand new equipment? Which of course I, you know, wouldn't necessarily completely recommend, because starting out, you want to make sure if you've never done lawn care that it's, you know, if it's that it's for you, number one, because if you figure out in a few months that you don't enjoy doing lawn care and you absolutely hate it, and then you're stuck with a mountain of debt of all this brand new equipment or a brand new truck or something like that, you know, it's not, not the smartest move, we'll just say. So, like I said, for me, between 30 and 40, from, you know, what I've heard from others in a similar situation, that sort of 40 number keeps coming up for a single owner operator. But I think in a lot of those cases, I would bet in most of those cases, those people are providing more than just mowing, just like I am, right? So they're doing the lawn mowing, they're doing the fertilizing, the aerating, they're trimming the hedges, they're pruning the trees for those clients, they're power washing decks and driveways, sidewalks and patios, that sort of stuff. With 30 to 40 clients, if you find clients that are, you know, willing to let you do those extras in addition to, then, you know, if you're willing to do the extras as well, if you don't want to just mow, you can make a very decent living, and paying all your bills and being, you know, very successful with that, taking on all of that extra work. And like, you know, with me, like I said, what I found is I'll do all the mowing, 3 days a week. And then, that gives me 2 days. And if you're able to work a weekend, if you want, that could give you 3 days to do all of those extra type jobs. It gives you a bunch more variety as well. It gives you stuff that you can do, in the rain, like power washing, junk removal, things like that. You know, if you have that sort of option where you're not getting rain as often as I do, and you're able to, you know, skip lawns and just push them back to a sunny day, you know, the next day or something. With me, that's not possible because lately it's been one day of sun and, you know, 4 or 5 days of rain, in a row. So I always have to mow in the rain regardless, it seems. But you know, if it can give you a lot more flexibility if you're doing more than just mowing, just something to think about. I know a lot of you guys don't like, you just want to do the mowing. It's straightforward. It's simple. It's easy. And you know, for me as well, even I do those extras. I prefer just mowing. It's my, you know, favorite thing to do. I do like doing the, aeration and fertilizers and, you know, stuff to do with the lawn. I enjoy all of that stuff. I don't mind doing all of that stuff. Some of the odd jobs and stuff, I, you know, even when it comes to trimming hedges and things like that, you know, it's not my favorite thing to do. But for regular clients and such, I'll still do that. That reminds me of another thing. Like I normally will do all those extra jobs but I only really offer them to regular clients, and not so much to people that are just phoning that want a hedge trimmed or something, because I'm usually busy enough with my regular clients for that. But that may be something that going forward may change, where, you know, I may start accepting more, you know, clients that just want a hedge trim or something, if the, you know, current crop of new clients that start signing up don't want those extras. So I may, you know, start filling in those days with those extra days with, you know, those one-off jobs and taking on, you know, that extra type of work. So like I said, just a sort of a loaded question. I just wanted to give a very sort of detailed answer on, you know, how that looks for me on, you know, how many clients you need to be successful. And just, you know, preface it with the fact that, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's business is different. And you have to look at what you want to offer, the areas that you work in, the types of clients that you'd be working for, the economic climate that you're in, and just put that all forth in your research and due diligence if you're thinking about taking the leap and starting a lawn care business, you know, trying to see how many realistic clients you would need in those situations to make your business a success and sustainable for you and your family. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.